Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
And you need to know about music, what's going on. Reach across the lake every Friday morning for that. Talk music with Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
I'd say we're all right.
Considering the cold weather we had.
Us too. Heat wave coming, though.
Yeah, I feel like we just stepped out of the freezer.
Yep.
Into some nice, warm, five-degree weather.
Yeah, yeah, right. Positive double digits because we're in minus double digits earlier this week. So
that was, we can all consider ourselves well-preserved now. That's what cold does.
Yeah, I think it's a compacted version of winter. We had a long, just kind of cool weather thing.
Very little snow.
Blowing snow, below zero temperatures, the midwinter thaw, and then it's going to freeze again, and then, winter will finish up.
Here's the thing. I'm here no matter what. You know what I mean? I'm not running.
No.
So, Super Bowl is Sunday. Before we get into the music stuff, who's your pick?
Rooting for the Rams, picking the Patriots.
All right. Score?
Nah, I never do that.
Okay.
I have a long history of being very wrong. So that's not to let. I have a feeling it could be a shootout, though. We could see a lot of points.
Gary, there's no penalty for being wrong on a Super Bowl score.
I'm not sure who the really the bad guy is in this one. Everyone wants to make, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick the bad guy. They've been there enough. They're the corporate team. Seen them, been there, done that. But then the Rams, I'm not sure they should even be there.
Well, exactly. I think the real bad guys are the officiating crew from the NFC Championship.
Right.
But I think people who cheat are generally bad guys. So, you can definitely consider Brady.
So the Patriots, the cheaters, the Rams just got there in a fluke.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tainted. No, this is definitely a tainted Super Bowl all the way around, including, as we're about to talk about, the halftime show, which is existing under this cloud of, how many people outside the Super Bowl feel Maroon 5 and Big Boy and Travis Scott should conduct themselves. This was a weird week because, for the first time in years and years and years, the halftime entertainers bowed out of doing a press conference during Super Bowl week. That's part of the Super Bowl tradition.
Yeah.
And, Maroon 5 said, no, we're not going to do it. We're going to let the music talk. As it turned out, Adam Levine decided to talk just to Entertainment Tonight and didn't have a whole lot to say. He kind of, said that he's not, I'm not in the right profession if I can't handle a little bit of controversy. He said there was a lot of hand-wringing about it, a lot of talking about the decision to play it, but the more they thought about it, the more they want to do it. He did indicate that, part of the reason they're doing it is this is their platform to do good. Now, does that mean they're going, that Maroon 5 or any of the others are going to take a knee like so many others want them to, including Roger Waters, who posted this long social media message imploring them to take a knee during the show? Adam Levine did not say anything about that, and so that'll remain to be seen. Part of the problem is here is a lot of performers have done the knee thing for years and years. Think about James Brown, on the knee, get the cape on you.
Mm-hmm.
So even if Adam Levine does go and take a knee, is he taking a knee, or
right,
is he being James Brown, or is he being emotive?
Right. Is it a knee for the right reasons?
Well, if he takes a knee and he has a cape, like Elvis and James Brown and all that stuff, then it's the wrong way to take the knee. You got to take the knee.
Isn't it Colin Kaepernick's whole protest sort of lost in the wash now?
Well, it's still prevalent because it's being kept prevalent.
And this week anyway.
Yeah, exactly. The officiating blunder in the NFC Championship didn't help, just because when you have one thing to criticize the league and the event for, things pile on. And by the way, we're still ticked off about this thing and about that thing and about the concussions and about Colin Kaepernick. So So, this, you know, that kind of stuff piles on. So we'll see what happens. I'd be more worked up about it if this were an artist or an act of real substance.
Whoa.
But it's Maroon 5.
So Maroon 5, you're saying, is not an act of substance? No. That's impossible. They're playing halftime at the Super Bowl.
They have a substantive presence at this event. But it's not. It doesn't carry the same weight as if it was a Springsteen or a Who or a Tom Petty or a Prince or something of that magnitude. You know, this is just a really successful pop act playing the Super Bowl. And Adam Levine, yes, is a real personality. You know,
he's a judge on a show.
That's right.
So he's definitely a person who's out there. But, you know, they're not a band we look to as a marker of social consciousness.
And can't a band just go, dude, we show up, we play our songs.
That's what we do for a living. We have this big stage to perform on.
And we're just going to play our songs like we do every night. Now, if they're out barking about political point of views at every show, which, like you said, Springsteen, that's part of the makeup of the show.
Right.
That's a different story. But, I don't know, Adam Levine, Maroon 5,
Hanson.
They play some upbeat tunes.
Yeah, so the whole thing feels, they did get... part of the deal is this $500,000 contribution to Dream Corps, which promotes social justice. And, you know, so if they can do some good work with that, then something good came out of this. Christina Aguilera, by the way, she's not talking about taking a knee, but she has kind of teased that she may rejoin, Adam Levine, her former fellow judge on The Voice. And make a surprise appearance at the Super Bowl. She's played a little coy about this, but she was asked about it. And she gave a kind of a no comment.
Boy, I saw her on New Year's Eve. It's not necessary, Christina. If you want to stay home, that's fine.
I would concur with that.
Thank you.
The other big thing that came out Super Bowl-wise this week is, of course, now you don't have to wait for the game for the commercials. The commercials are debuted the week before, and there is, again, a lot of music being, and musicians who are part of this. Motley Crue will be in a Planners commercial using Kickstart My Heart. Bob Dylan is in not one, but two. One is, I don't know if you've seen this Budweiser ad about their solar power.
Yeah, wind power. Wind.
That's a sweet commercial.
We had a look at the blowing in the wind.
I just love the dog. The dog at the beginning with the jowls flapping and the ears flying. How cool is that?
Okay.
Also, his song "The Man in Me" is used in an even better commercial. This is the Stella Artois one, with Sarah Jessica Parker and Jeff Bridges reprising Carrie Bradshaw and the Dude. I don't know if you haven't checked that one out. It's all over YouTube and it's hysterical. Michael Bublé is in a commercial for Bubbly, the drink, where he's sitting on the floor doing. Changing all the names with a marker to Bublé instead of Bubbly. Kind of cute. And then One Republic is doing another Jeep ad. It's called More Than Just Words, and this is kind of a heartstring tugger. There's not a lot of humor involved in it. So, there'll be, if you're a music fan, something from your preferred genre, it appears, will be part of this.
So there's plenty of music in the commercials. Who's playing in Atlanta? Because it's like a week of concerts
there. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff going on. I don't have the whole list in front of me, but I know, Foo Fighters are doing a big show, and, it seems like shows just keep popping up. So there's plenty of music going on.
Kiss is getting back together. They started their final tour Thursday night.
Yep, End of the Road tour last night in Vancouver.
And here's the thing about Kiss. When you have a pecking order, when you talk to people who love Kiss, and there's plenty of people who love Kiss, it's they love Paul Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
They Gene Simmons.
Right.
Those are one and two, or you can reverse them whatever you want. And then it feels like number three is always Ace.
Always Ace.
But Ace is... always in trouble with those guys, it feels like.
And this week it went off the rails again. So, basically Ace has been leading the charge in the campaign that this End of the Road farewell tour should bring back the old members, whether alongside Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer or not. And he's even been putting out kind of erroneous information that, I've been talking with Gene and Paul about it, this and that. Well, Gene and Paul, did some interviews, including I talked to Paul earlier in the week, where they basically said, no, this is not a reunion tour. This is Kiss touring. We wouldn't mind if the guys wanted, any of the other guys wanted to drop in for another, for a song or two here or there, but we're not bringing them back full time. They also, you know, in talking to Guitar World magazine, they went out, you know, a little further talking about the problems they've had with Ace over the years with his, you know, with his substance abuses and things like that. And Gene went, you know, Gene said that he'd been fired 3 times. That caused Ace to go out on a social media diatribe, again, something to look up on Facebook or Twitter, just where he, you know, he claims that he quit the band 3 times, wasn't fired, calls Gene all sorts of bad names, accuses Gene Simmons of groping his, Ace Frehley's wife, during an appearance last year in Los Angeles, and, you know, says, you know, claims that Paul and Gene have tried to derail his, Ace Frehley's solo career, you know, on many different occasions, and he says unless he gets a full apology and is reinstated into the band and Tommy Thayer is kicked out, that he promises the you-know-what is going to hit the fan. Now, and, what that means, I don't know.
My question is, okay, so what could that mean?
You know, he could sue him.
Yeah.
He could sue him for defamation or whatever. You know, that's, you know, that probably won't go too far.
And just a quick question here. Does it always seem like Gene Simmons and Ron Jeremy are always interchangeable?
A little bit. If you ever saw them side by side.
Right.
You know, you would not think so. But
right.
They yeah. definitely have a similar presence, let's
yeah.
say.
Yeah.
One guy you won't be seeing with Kiss at all, apparently, though, is Vinnie Vincent. They really went off on him. And, you know, there's no love lost there. And Vinnie, by the way, after a few years in the woods, you know, which we understand were his own health issues, just canceled all his comeback shows that he had planned for the spring with no real explanation. So who knows what's going on there.
Well, happier get-togethers. Brian Johnson's back with AC/DC.
You know, he is, you know, maybe the worst-kept secret in rock and roll. You know, AC/DC, as we spoke about before, was seen in Vancouver working with producer Bob Rock up there, and it was with Brian Johnson and with Phil Rudd, the drummer. And apparently, you know, Brian Johnson ran into the members of a group called Terrorizer. They're a hardcore metal band at the airport recently, and they asked him, you know, hey, are you back in AC/DC, and is there an album cover? And Brian Johnson said, yeah, I am. I'm sick of denying it. It's happening. So the group Terrorizer posted this on social media. So we have Brian Johnson, you know, kind of confirming that something's happening. It sounds like from all the other reports, this is, you know, an album of material, some of which Malcolm Young, the late Malcolm Young, helped to write, and that the album will be dedicated to him. And this is kind of like, you know, maybe the real closure for AC/DC, just getting these songs finished, paying tribute to Malcolm, and then who knows, Angus Young. Did a really fun vamp on the Who's On First routine, you know, with an interviewer in Australia. This
really?
Is also worth looking up on social media. With a, you know, an interviewer asking him, like, you know, who's playing bass? And yeah, it's funny. You know, they really, like, do a complete takeoff on the routine, but, you know, using it as, like, an AC/DC line of questioning.
Hey, did the Grammy winners get leaked this week, or was that?
The Grammys say they didn't.
Okay.
There was on Monday this Twitter account, Main Pop Data, leaked what they said were winners of the Grammys: Cardi B for Record of the Year, Lady Gaga for Song of the Year, a few others. The Recording Academy hastened to release a statement saying, you know, there's no legitimacy to this. These results are never shared. They come in a briefcase, you know, at the show, so there's no way, no how is this true. So we'll find out a week from Sunday, on February 10th, whether they had the goods or not.
All right, well, since we're talking about the Grammys have more songs going into the Album and Song Hall of Fame?
Yeah, there's some good stuff this year. This is, you know, they do this every year. They put out it's for both albums and for songs. So you have things like Tom Petty's Full Moon Fever album, Aerosmith's Walk This Way song, Jackson Browne's debut album, Link Gray and the X-Men's Rumble, Fats Domino's I'm Walking, Curtis Mayfield Move On Up, The Platter Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, Brenda Lee Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, Miles Davis Around Midnight, Harper Valley PTA, Hallelujah, the original La Bamba, not by Richie Valens, but by Al Jarocco. Those are some of the, I think there's like two dozen.
That's a pretty solid list, the one you just went down there.
A Wild Thing apparently is going in too. You know, they haven't been doing this for that long. That's why some of these, you're hearing some of these titles, you think, well, shouldn't have this been in already? But it hasn't been a long, long time that they've been doing this.
And Kanye's suing everybody?
Kanye's suing everybody. You know, his current record company, his old record company, his manufacturing company, his old management company. So this is involving Island Def Jam, Rockefeller Productions, EMI Music, you know, basically saying they all owe him money. And he wants out from the current deal with Island Def Jam. He did confirm that he's holding up his next album, which is called Yandi, until all this gets settled. This is a wide-ranging and free-flowing legal situation here, so we'll see what happens. He did, by the way, settle a lawsuit against with Tidal, the streaming service Tidal, and a fan who sued Kanye and Tidal, saying he was duped that he paid for a monthly subscription, a deluxe subscription, because he thought Kanye's music was going to be part of this. And when it turned out not to be, the fan sued. So they apparently settled out of court. They haven't said what the terms are.
Part of the story I had with his contract with EMI was he signed it in 2003.
Right.
With, like, no end date on the contract. And California law says those kinds
seven,
of contracts
that
are signed are done after 7 years.
Right, yeah.
And so he wants
all
he
that
wants
money.
It to be done and retroactively paid for. You know.
And he wants the rights to all the material he recorded for EMI. So these are, there are a lot of these suits out there. They're just not all by Kanye West. So, when Kanye West sues, we're going to hear about it. But that California statute, that 7-year law, has been the subject of quite a few legal actions.
50 years ago this week, the Beatles played their rooftop concert impromptu,
yep.
Right? It was 50 years ago, and now there's a new documentary that's being put together. Is it coming out?
It's fun. They seem to, the thing seems to be the Beatles estates, Apple Corps working with famous directors. It was Ron Howard 2 years ago on that documentary about their first U.S. tour. Now it's going to be Peter Jackson of Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit fame. He's taking 55 hours of never-before-released footage from the Let It Be sessions. And he's going to turn that into a documentary that'll include the rooftop concert and, maybe a friendlier look at the Let It Be sessions, because as you recall, that actual film was a bit of a downer as well as extremely boring. This will be Peter Jackson's take on it. Full cooperation of, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Yoko Ono, Olivia Harrison, and the full Apple Corps. He has artistic freedom to do with it what he will. So
when does this come out?
They haven't said yet.
Okay.
He's at work. They just announced that he's at work on it now. Judging from the Ron Howard thing, it should be about a year.
All right. Hey, Gary, we're out of time.
We are
out of time.
All right. Well, don't eat and drink too much on Sunday.
That game starts
Super
too
Bowl.
Late for that.
Yeah.
It'll be a normal day.
All right. I'm just trying
much.
To help.
Yeah, I know. You used to be a sports writer. This is what you do.
I used to be. This is fun.
All right.
I get to sit there and just enjoy it.
All right, Gary, stay warm. We'll talk to you next Friday.
You guys too.
Gary Graff.